The sermon title today is called The Holy Bible is Still a Bestseller. Well, now, a few weeks ago, one of my families down at Fort Meade, we drove down to Orlando to the Wycliffe Bible Institute. They train missionaries to go in the most obscure places in the world to translate the Bible. It's usually an obscure language. Well, my elder was with me. He said, "Look here, Anthony, look at this Bible." And I thought, "Ooh, I'd like to have it," but it was $45. So I did something today. I went on eBay and found it for $20 cheaper and a brand new copy. I'm going to read you John 3:16 out of it and try to guess which language it is. God get plenty love and aloha for the people inside the world. That's why he sent me his one only boy, cause a diet. Everybody that trusts me know going to get cut off from God forever. Then going to get the real kind life that going to stay in the max forever. That is pidgin English of the Hawaiian Islands. If you recognize aloha, you knew which country or which area I was speaking about. And so here it is in the title of it, The Good and Special Book. It's an authentic translation. It came out in 2020, by the way. The need, necessity and need of our day is the requirement for faith, but an intelligent one that may face the realities of life and is sufficient for difficult times. The Bible is the guidebook for our faith. It is. It's a guidebook for our faith. It is God's written word to us. Only in the Bible may we know of God's character and works. Now, I'm not excluding nature, because you can take a walk and see the creation of God in flowers, bushes, trees, animals, whatever it is. God is there. But we also get to know God a lot better if we read the Bible. In the 1950s, a book was published, and many of you have read it, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. I recommend this book to everybody I see because it has helped me and it will help you. And it remained a bestseller for several years in a row. However, simultaneously, the Revised Standard Version Bible came out off the presses and was number one for 2 solid years. Peale's book never surpassed the RSV Bible. Incidentally, the Bible has always been number one, but with this new translation, sales tripled. With God as the author, how could this new translation not be a bestseller? Yet no other book can give us strength, cheer, comfort, and help in dismal or difficult moments. The Bible is the written source of divine revelation and is our authority for faith. We can know and have faith in God through the divine revelation of God as expressed in the Bible. The Bible was written by people who were guided by God. They recorded the acts of God through their own personalities, vocabularies, and even the cultural time frame or worldview which they lived. Now, you have to remember that the Bible was not actually written down the way we know it until about 500 years before Christ, and that was just the Old Testament. It had oral tradition for thousands of years. It went from one group to the next, and that's how they continued the Bible. And fortunately, God protected those words that those people were uttering. And so God still speaks to us from the Bible. And it must also be considered that Scripture stands as the authority on matters of faith and life. Only the Holy Spirit may interpret the Bible for each of us. All doctrine or teaching must be tested according to Holy Scripture. What we believe and how we live are intertwined closely together. It cannot be expected to find all the answers at once. If the explicit answer for every social question of each age were in the Bible would soon be outdated. But the Bible is very flexible. That's the amazing and remarkable thing about it. And so in the Bible, there are principles that guide all who believe in God, no matter which century people live. The problems might change, however, but the principles of God are never altered. everything that is done or thought should be guided by the precepts of the Bible. However, care must be taken as to how the Bible is interpreted. Never take a Bible verse out of context and use it as a billy club on somebody or to enforce what is thought the correct way of doing things. That is dangerous because too many people have been mangled or mutilated in a spiritual, mental, and emotional manner by some revengeful person who sought to bring justice in the name of God. The Bible is not a voodoo doll to stick needles in other people. Remember that. It is not. That is a dangerous and foolish game. The scripture must always be taken in the context of when and why it was written. Two of my favorite theologians, they're not Presbyterian, they're disciples of Christ, were Barton Stone and Alexander Campbell. They founded the Disciples' Church. And I love the quote that they created. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent. And that's held up over 250 years, by the way. In the book of Leviticus, which has probably the driest section in the Bible, but it has the code of holiness in it. And that's what was used to guide the Israelites, not just in the desert, but later on in the days of Christ, in the temple there. So you have all these rules and regulations there. And is this holiness code enforceable today? Well, I doubt it because it requires us to eat kosher foods like pork. We can't eat pork or shellfish or anything like that. And we had to refrain from wearing clothes with mixed fabrics. Are y'all wearing any mixture of wool and cotton today, or maybe polyester, rayon, everything? Well, you'd be thrown out of the temple if you were wearing something like that. Don't worry about me. I'm not going to do that. I doubt if any of us would do that today. You know, there's even one place in the scripture where it says that, and I'm going to tell you something. If you go out shopping, you're going to see a lot of people with those today. Leviticus 19, verse 28 says, "You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord." Now, don't worry. I'm not planning on running, cleansing the temple or anything like that. But that's what the law of Moses said. And these people were forced to live under that restriction. It was oppressing. It was smothering. And it even continued. Christ abridged the code of holiness so that we could have a closer relationship to God. You know, there's a thing I like to think of. You know how many gallons of sap? It takes 45 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup. That's a lot of sap. The maple syrup procedure, I like to compare it with what Christ did concerning the old Jewish laws. There are 613 laws in the book of Leviticus alone, and they call it the Torah, and 365 rules explain what people are to avoid, and 248 regulations state what they are supposed to do. Think about that. All those rules, I'd break out in hives if I had to keep that many. And these laws were strictly observed and enforced. And under the Orthodox Jewish people still abide by these. You know, they will hire somebody to come to their home to flip the light switch on and off on the Sabbath because that's considered work. And so, see, they are under, but that's what they believe in. I am not going to challenge them on it, but that's what they believe in that. And so Christ, however, reduced the 613 laws down to 2. You know what they are? Love God with all your might and our neighbors, and love our neighbors as ourselves. He really compressed them into those 2. Regarding the original laws, Christ did not discard them, but he refined them. This is the miraculous found in Scripture, in that the Bible can reform itself. Presbyterians, like I said, we're always reforming ourselves. Well, the Bible can too, but it has to be done under the guise of the Holy Spirit. But Remember, if a person tries to enforce verses taken out of context, it will lead to trouble. Don't ever listen to somebody who says this is the way it's going to be. That's how cults get started. Jim Jones, for one thing, in Guyana. I have not yet made any Kool-Aid for today, but I have a feeling most of you are intelligent enough not to come down and drink any of it. And that's what Jones did. He practically brainwashed those people into believing what he was saying was truly the Word of God. He did use the Word of God, but manipulated it for his own evil. That's all that can be said. So be careful. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again to every one of you. If you're not for sure, I hope I preach the truth, but if you're not for sure, you can go home and read your Bible and find out for yourself. Because the Word of God speaks truth. And if you don't, you could get into trouble. There's a lot of religion started because somebody decided they wanted to, because they disagree with another person. So never forget that. You know, in, I think it's in 1 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. And that's really what has to be done. You have to study the Scripture in order to know what it says. And so a responsible minister takes the Bible seriously and handles or interprets it with the utmost dignity and respect under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. William Barclay, some of you have probably read his commentaries. He was a great writer. He, a very good scholar, British scholar, recalled that the Bible brought God's word and love to a group of thugs in Europe. A Bible missionary, what they used to call a colporteur, was once kidnapped by bandits in the Carpathian Mountains of Czechoslovakia. I bet you thought I was going to say Transylvania, didn't you? But it was in Czechoslovakia at the time. He was imprisoned at gunpoint and ordered to light a fire to burn the Bibles he was carrying. He lit the fire, then asked if he might read passages from the Scriptures before he dropped them into the flames. The man read the 23rd Psalm, then the story of the Good Samaritan, followed by the Sermon on the Mount, and finished with 1 Corinthians 13, known as the Love Chapter. One of the cutthroats said, "That's a good book. We won't burn that one. Give it to me." In the end, not one Bible was burned. The desperados left the Bible missionary and went off into the darkness. Years later, one of the former bandits turned up again. This time, he was a minister of the gospel. And it was because the Bible missionary and the scripture passages read, he attributed to his life change. Salvation is only the beginning in our faith journey. You've heard me quote this. One of my favorite definitions for the Bible is found in the 1662 Anglican Book of Common Prayer. It truly explains the purpose for the Bible. It says, "Holy Scripture containeth all things necessary for salvation." God intends for people of faith to serve Him, and the Bible will teach us how to do it. In these difficult times, our trust in God is based on the authority as found in the Bible. It guides our pathway to God. But nobody's going to force you to read the Bible. Nobody's going to say you have to. It's left up to you whether you decide you want to inform yourself about what God says in the Bible. Have you read the Bible lately? The bestseller of all time? Go ahead and do it, and then witness how your life and faith will grow. Let us pray. Oh God, as we have gathered here this morning, we are thankful that we have the Holy Bible to guide and lead us in all things. We pray, O Lord, that those of us, O Lord, who are still on our faith journey, and that includes everyone here, that we may grow and learn more from your word. We give thanks always through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.